And so, after these many long days of Lent, we come to Holy Thursday. We come to the first Mass. As Catholics, we join in the great mystery of God, who sacrificed himself for us, who sacrifices himself for us indeed at every Mass which we witness, just as if we were sitting there at the Last Supper. We join in that action in every Mass, watching as Christ transforms himself, transforms the bread into his body, transforms the wine into his blood. St. Augustine, in the early centuries of the Church, wrote about this mystery as he was trying to explain it to the new Catholics who had just come into the Church that Easter. He wrote, "One thing is seen, another is to be understood. So what you can see then is bread and a cup. That's what even your eyes tell you. But as for what your faith asks to be instructed about, the bread is the body of Christ. The chalice contains the blood of Christ. How can bread be his body? And the cup, or what the cup contains, how can it be his blood? The reason these things, brothers and sisters, are called sacraments is that in them one thing is seen, another is to be understood. What can be seen has a bodily appearance. What is to be understood provides spiritual fruit. So if you want to understand the body of Christ, listen to St. Paul telling the faithful, 'You, though, are the body of Christ and its members.' So if it's you that are the body of Christ and its members, it's the mystery, meaning you have been placed on the Lord's table. What you receive is the mystery that means you. It is what you are that you reply, 'Amen.' And by so replying, you express your assent. What you hear is the body of Christ. And you answer, 'Amen.' So be a member of the body of Christ in order to make that 'Amen' true." St. Augustine is writing that in the mystery of the Eucharist, we have the whole body of Christ present. Of course, Jesus Christ the head, but also the whole Christ, the body of Christ, all of us, his members. And so St. Augustine is telling us that we are placed on the altar. At every Mass which we attend, we are called to join in the sacrifice of the priest. And so the priest says, "Pray, brethren, that your sacrifice and mine may be acceptable." You and I together need to place ourselves on the altar so that through the mystery of our baptism, that can be rekindled in our hearts, in the sacrifice of the Mass, so that we can be present in that eternal sacrifice of Jesus Christ offered to his heavenly Father. All of that was in the mind of Christ at the Last Supper, as he told his disciples, with his infinite mind being God, "Do this in memory of me." That remembrance is not merely a pleasant memory of the past, but the full Jewish understanding of remembrance, in which those who are remembering become present in the past action. And we know certainly for us, it is not merely a past action, for it is an action of God, and so it has become an eternal action of the Father presenting it to his Son, of the Son presenting it to his Father in heaven. These days of Triduum, Holy Thursday, Good Friday, Holy Saturday, and Easter Sunday, these days of the Holy Triduum invite us to unite our hearts, our minds, our actions to those of Christ, to be his members of the body here on earth, to walk with Christ in those footsteps which are our saving, which are the paschal mystery of our salvation, to be a living member of his body here today, though separated by 2,000 years, made one through the sacraments. Last Sunday, we celebrated the Passion, or Palm Sunday. Just prior to reading that Passion narrative, that beautiful 20-minute summary of what we are celebrating, we heard one of the most ancient passages of sacred scripture, St. Paul's words in the Philippians hymn, which he then recorded in that letter. He speaks about Jesus' great self-offering, or his self-emptying. In the Greek, the word is kenosis. It is recorded in that hymn. He says, "Jesus, though he was in the form of God, did not deem equality with God something to be grasped. Rather, he emptied himself." and took the form of a slave. A form of that kenosis, that self-emptying, that self-sacrifice, which God, the second person of the Most Holy Trinity, incarnate, the person Jesus Christ, chose to undergo for our salvation, is made present for us in tonight's Last Supper. As we hear in John's Gospel, that rather than hearing a second institution narrative, we heard one from St. Paul for our second reading. But in St. John's Gospel, we hear instead of that self-emptying as Jesus, again, the master, the teacher, the rabbi, the one who was the leader, takes the lowest place, the form of a slave, and washes his disciples' feet. This mystery of self-emptying of Jesus Christ calls into action the real stuff of our lives. It invites us to participate in his action. Jesus told his disciples, "What I have done, you also must do." And so we, you and I, need to think, where in our lives can we self-empty? Where in our life is there room for kenosis? That self-sacrifice, not deeming equality with God something to be grasped at, but rather emptying ourselves to make of ourselves more perfectly united to Christ, who empties himself of everything and takes to himself the emptiness of our sins. All of that self-emptying we should be placing on the altar tonight, and not only tonight, but at every Mass. At every time when our Lord offers that eternal sacrifice and we are called to participate. Whenever a Catholic priest stands at the altar, we want to be able to see in him Jesus Christ who is standing at the altar. Jesus is the victim of the Mass. Jesus is the sacrifice offered to the Father. Jesus gave himself, as the first reading alludes to be our Passover. Our Eucharistic meal in which we can participate as we enter into this holy night. For we know that the Last Supper is prefigured by that Passover meal of the Jewish history. And that in that Last Supper, our Lord was anticipating the sacrifice of the cross, in which he would willingly pour out to the very last drop his blood, the blood of the unblemished lamb, sacrificed so that you and I could be set free. Not merely set free in a very physical bondage as the Israelites were set free from Egypt, but set free at the deepest level of our interior being. Set free from the sin which binds us. Set free from the death which holds all of us captive. Jesus Christ, speaking of Jesus Christ, said to the Galatians, "It is for freedom that Christ has set us free." We are set free by the blood of the Lamb to live real human lives through him and with him and in him for the sake of the world, for the salvation of everyone. Christ desires to work through us and in us, with us, to bring his freedom into the lives of all. In the midst of that night, when our Lord rose from the table, he showed us naturally the supernatural expression of his love, an expression that reveals the heart of God and also our Christian vocation. For it is he who is the Lord and the Master, the King of Kings, as we thought about last Sunday, who took off his cloak of royal splendor. As it is, we could see in that action the very mystery of the Incarnation, where the second person of the Most Holy Trinity takes off his divinity so as to assume our humanity. Not that he ceases to be God in that action. And to those whom he had chosen to continue his redemptive work, he showed them exactly what they were chosen to do. We know the mission of Jesus. We could think of it from the beginning of John's Gospel. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son. And so Jesus on this night shows his disciples what they are called to do. To love. in a deep service to others. He enlisted them to live their lives as that self-emptying, that kenosis, that emptying out of themselves for love of the world. And so you and I know that to bear the name Christian is to walk in this kind of love in the midst of a broken and wounded world waiting to be reborn. We know that this foot washing itself is a humble act of service on Jesus' part, but we don't want to limit it to merely that basic message which so many of us could see, that of a call to service. We truly want to see in that a deeper level. As St. Augustine was speaking of in the Eucharist, so too we want to see that in this mystery of the washing of the feet, a deeper level, a sacrament, that in washing the apostles' feet, Jesus Christ was ordaining them to be priests, to share in his priesthood. That we know if we were to go back to the book of Exodus, as the Levitical priesthood was established, that the priests had to wash their hands and feet before entering the sanctuary to enter the sacrifice. And so the disciples, having already washed their feet, their hands to recline at table, now also had to have their feet washed to share in the priesthood of Jesus Christ. So Jesus, on this night, completes a figurative ordination for them. For he intends for them to be the priests of the new and eternal covenant. Not the covenant of Sinai, but the covenant of Calvary. The covenant made pure in his blood, which is a celebration of the new Passover for the new people of God. We see that Jesus and Peter get into a discussion about having an inheritance or having a part in me. The Greek term there would be meres. And again, that has a priestly connotation. The Levitical priesthood was not given, the tribe of Levi was not given any part of the land of Israel. For their meres, their part, their inheritance was to come directly from God. And so the priesthood of Jesus Christ is the priests put on their cassock. They repeat that phrase, "You are my inheritance, O Lord. You are my portion, my part, my cup. It is you who will restore my inheritance to me." And so although in principle the priesthood of Jesus Christ does not call for celibacy, we can see how it is so very fitting for the priests to take as Jesus Christ their only part, their promise for an inheritance, the one who will restore all that they are for all that they sacrifice. We see that in the Latin Rite, it is a beautiful expression of the truth that in God alone is the priest to find all that he has sacrificed in taking that sacrament or in receiving that sacrament of holy orders. To ignore or downplay this aspect of tonight, that institution of the ministerial priesthood in Christianity, is to miss an opportunity that is so crucial to our Catholic faith. For we know that it is through the ministerial priesthood that we are able to receive the other sacraments. And certainly it is the sacraments which give us the deepest expression of God's love, most perfectly the sacrament of the Eucharist, that sacrament in which Jesus gives us his very self for our edification, for our spiritual transformation. It's not merely something for us to think about, but truly it must be something for us to experience. We must give ourselves over completely to the sacraments, just as completely as God has given himself to us, which was revealed not merely in the Last Supper, but most perfectly on the cross, as he pours his life out for us. And so, you and I want to see in this Triduum of Days, this single liturgy in which we are entering into, a call for us to rejoice in the saving mystery of Jesus Christ, who emptied himself, taking our human nature, and so inviting you and I to participate until the end of time in this action, placing himself in complete obedience to his Father. He offers himself in the Mass, on the cross, for our salvation and for the salvation of all the world. And so let us tonight continue in that great tradition of all the saints for these past 2,000 years of doing this in remembrance of him.